peace, his abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. Our text is the Gospel, Matthew 4. Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee. Let us pray. Lord, pour out the Holy Spirit on us this holy day, that we may all gladly hear your word and believe your word and follow Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what are you going to do? How are you going to respond? How are you going to react? What are you going to do? I know what I'm going to do. Do you know what you're going to do? Who knows what they're going to do? Who has no idea what I'm talking about? Well, you should. You're listening today. You really should. For in the Gospel, Matthew 4, Jesus begins his ministry there in Galilee. And in the Gospel, we have the most incredible, wonderful invitation we could ever receive. It's right there for all of us, whoever we are, whatever we've done. It's right there for each and every one of us here and in the whole world. It's the greatest invitation, the greatest call, if you will, we could ever get. It's greater than any invitation to a birthday party, kids. Better than that. It's better than an invitation to a Super Bowl party with the Bears in it, of course, my team today. It's better than any invitation to a wedding or a reception like that. It's better than any invitation. It's right there in the Gospel, where our Lord calls, invites, follow me. Come, follow me. Did you get the invitation? Say it with me. Come, follow me. All right, one more time. Did you get it? Come, follow me. So what are you going to do? You sound like you're really going to follow today, folks. How are you going to respond? Well, there's three ways. There's three ways that one could respond to God's invitation, come follow. You can say no. You can be slow. Or you can go. First of all, the Lord says, come follow me. You can say no. You can be so foolish to say no to the Lord Almighty. Many people said no in Jesus' ministry. They didn't want to come. They wanted to do their own thing. I don't want to follow anybody. I'm my own man. I'm my own master, my own Lord. I want to do my own thing. I don't want to follow anybody, let alone you, God. I say no. I'm going to do my own thing. No. In the Gospel lesson, it starts off pretty well for Jesus. Many are following him. Andrew follows, Peter follows, James follows, John follows. They leave their nets and they follow. And then you have this massive crowd of sick people with every disease and sickness coming to Jesus. They want healing. They want life. They come to follow. It starts off well. Everybody's following Jesus. His fame spreads. It's incredible. Wow. But it all changes quickly as you read the rest of Matthew's Gospel. This is just chapter 4. As you read on, the Pharisees say no. The Sadducees say no. We don't want to follow. The teachers of the law, all the religious leaders in general, they all say no. We don't want to follow. We want to do our own thing. We're good enough for God. We don't need you, Jesus. Then you get to the end of Jesus' life, his last hours and days. Many say no. The crowd's great here, but the crowd on Good Friday, crucify him, crucify him. We don't want him. Get out of here. No, Jesus, we're not going to follow. And Pontius Pilate says no. And Herod says no. And Judas, one of the 12, says no. What about you? As we sit here today in the house of God, January 23rd, 2011, 3 out of 4 people in the world say no. I'll worship another God. I'll do my own thing. I don't want you, Jesus. Praise be to God. You know, and you want to follow. You're a Christian, I pray. You're baptized. You believe. Three out of four are saying no right now. When I was up in Indiana over Christmas break, I saw my brother Dave and I have three brothers, Dave, Mark, and Jim, and my sister Lois, big busher clan there up in Indiana. And my brother Dave had a brilliant idea. He's my older brother in St. Louis. He's kind of well off. He has a condominium down in Florida, southern Florida. He had this brilliant idea. He says, I want the whole family to come down to Florida during the summer because we don't get to see each other a whole lot because we're all scattered, the Busher family. I want everybody, all my brothers, Paul, you come with your family, Jim, Mark, Lois, come with your families, Mom, come. I want the whole Busher clan to take over Florida over July 4th. Come down, you can rent a condo, beach, and seafood. We're going to see each other, eat with each other, have a big Busher reunion for a whole week down in Florida. Great idea. Yes. And then I told my wife, Ann, about it. And I think you know the response. Honey, we're going down to Florida. Beach, seafood. My family will be there. Don't worry about that. A whole week on the beach and seafood down in Florida. We're going to go. She loves my family, but her first words were, a week? 7 days? Trapped in Florida? He loves my family, but maybe 2 days or 3 days, 7 days with the in-law. How many women can identify want to spend a week with your in-laws? Come on, you can identify with Ann a little bit. You know, there's reunions that we may not want to go to, or at least not that long. What a reunion Christ is calling us to. Come follow. Where's it end up, Jesus? It ends up in heaven. Come receive the forgiveness of your sins. Come to the cross and behold him die for you to pay for all your sins. Come to Easter and behold him rise again. Come to heaven and be with me forever. The great reunion of all the saints. Perfect love. That's where it ends up. Don't we all want to go? And much longer than a week? That's what the invitation is to. Paradise. If you're saying no right now, you don't need Jesus. May the Holy Spirit work in your heart. His arms are open to you. It's always open to people that say no. He ever longs, come, follow, repent, be baptized. I love you, I forgive you. Won't you come follow? You can be slow. This is probably our greater temptation. We can be slow to respond to the call of Christ. Slow, hesitant. Lord, I'll do it later. I know you're important, Lord. I know you died, you rose, all this stuff. I know the church is important. I know the Word of God's important. I know all that's important stuff. But I got other things to do. I'm a busy person. I work. I want to have pleasure and fun. I want to sleep in on Sunday. I'm busy, and I'm just too tired. Maybe later. Maybe later. I got things to do right now. And you hesitate. And you wait. There were people in Jesus' day that did this, I think. We read often where Jesus performs a miracle or he teaches, and the crowd's amazed, we read in the Gospels. They're amazed, they're astonished, and they ask, who could this be? Is this the prophet? Is this the Christ? Who is he? But then that's the end of the story, and we really don't know what the crowd does. Do they follow? Is there faith and commitment, devotion? Or do they just kind of go home and say, that was a nice show? And what about church for you today, friend? Is there faith, commitment, devotion to follow this Jesus? Or is it just a nice show you put in your time and we go home and maybe later, Jesus? I think of Thomas. He was slow to believe, although he did by the grace of our risen Lord who appeared to him. The rich young ruler, remember him? He wanted to follow Christ. He was right there on the fence. But then Jesus said, go sell all you have and come follow me. And he went away sad, for he had many possessions. He hesitated, and we get the impression he never really did follow. When you're slow, you usually end up saying no, because the devil pulls you farther and farther away. If you're on the fence, you're not sure about this Jesus. You want him, but you like your own life too. If you're on the fence, his call is get off the fence, friend. Get off the fence. You're useless sitting on a fence. It's uncomfortable sitting on a fence. Get off the fence. Repent of your sins. Be baptized if you're not baptized. Be confirmed in the church. Learn about Christ and be confirmed and come to communion after you're confirmed. Be active in the church. Worship your Lord every Sabbath day, not whenever you feel like it. Come and hear the Word of God. Go to Bible class. Receive the gifts of God, the light, and then go out and serve your Lord and be a fisher of men and serve Him every day. Give up your own life and live His life. Get off the fence and do it today before it's too late. Don't hesitate. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Tomorrow is too, but we're not in tomorrow, we're in today. Today is a day of salvation for you. I read in a food article, and I like to read these things now and then. There are three spices that we really need, and I can't even pronounce them, and we need these spices. Turmeric. You heard this, Pat? His wife's very good with food. Turmeric. We got to have this spice, I read, because it helps with headaches and maybe congestion. Got to have that spice. Another one is cumin. I get that one. I've heard of cumin. Vitamins in the spice. And then peppermint. I've heard of Pat. Pepper's Pat High. He's in the back today. I need my peppermint candy. Because cumin, vitamins, and peppermint will help you with a sore throat or anti-inflammatory. You got to have these spices was the point of the article. Got to have them. So get the right foods to have this stuff. I'll tell you what you need. Have all the spices you want. They're gifts of God too. You don't need spice in your life. And I'm not just talking about food spices. I'm talking about joy and all the pleasures. You don't need spice. What you need is a Savior. What you need is a Savior. And His name is Jesus. One who can do a lot more than help you with a sore throat, or help you with a headache, or help you with congestion. One who can take away your sin and make you right with God. One who can give you eternal life and raise your dead body from the grave and give you an immortal, powerful, holy body that you live forever. No spice can do that. Nothing on this earth can do it except Jesus, the light of the world. Don't hesitate. Don't put it off. Put off the spices. Don't put off the Savior of the world. Repent and believe and be baptized. Don't say no and don't be slow. Go. Go and follow Jesus and do it today. Andrew follows Jesus. Peter, James, and John leave their nets on the spot and follow Jesus. The power of Jesus. We don't give credit to those men. It's the power of the love of Christ to call you from your former life to a new life, from your sins to salvation. The power of Jesus called the light of the world. The whole crowd follows Jesus. They're all following Him. And the lesson of the text is, what about you? Will you be part of the crowd? Or are you over here waiting on the fence or walking the other way? Note, Jesus turns no one away. He turns no one away. They all come, they all gather. The paralyzed, demon-possessed, they're all around Him. Every sinner of every ilk is around Him. He turns no one away saying, you're not good enough, I don't like you, you leave. He invites them all, He welcomes them all. No matter what you've done, friend. How sinful you may think you are. How bad I am. I've done all this. God can never leave you. He loves you. Count on that. He invites you. The call is yours. Come follow me. Your sins are forgiven. Whatever it is, He turns no one away. And notice that He heals every disease. None of the diseased and paralyzed go home saying, well, He couldn't heal me. I'm still paralyzed, I'm still demon-possessed, I'm still sick. He heals every disease, every sickness. This is the Son of God. He's overcome sin. He's overcome death, the devil and all of hell. And He will heal all of our diseases in paradise, if not now, in paradise, the resurrection of the body. What a Savior we have. Who here is as smart as a bug? He is smart as a bug? A moth. When a moth is in darkness, what's a moth do? Very good, Nathan. It goes to the light. Who here is as smart as a moth? Go to the light. This pastor said, the light of the world is here. The light of the gospel. The cross, the forgiveness of sins. Be as smart as a lousy bug, people. And come to the light. Know your Savior. Be baptized. Come to church. Be in that light constantly. I read where some restaurant owners and managers are upset. You know what they're complaining about? This is a growing complaint among restaurant owners and managers. They're complaining that people now feel entitled to a free dessert on their birthday. This is tragic, isn't it? But really, they're getting upset that people just feel like that. You know, when you, how many of you go to a restaurant and feel like you should get a free dessert on your birthday? Come on, we all do, right? We're entitled. It's going to happen. We're going to go somewhere else, right? Well, one restaurant owner said this. He said, "Who invented the rule that you get a free dessert in a restaurant on your birthday? You don't get a free pair of socks or gloves from Old Navy when you buy an outfit on your birthday." Nothing's for free. Not even a free dessert on your birthday. I'll tell you something that's free. Look at your gospel lesson. Jesus takes on Andrew, Peter, James, and John. He takes on this whole crowd and heals them all of every sickness and disease. He saves them all, delivers them all, and he gives no bill. Here's the bill for my services. I healed your paralysis. Here's my bill, friend. Here's my bill for this. Here's my bill for that. Pay up. It's all free. The physician charges nothing. It's all free. Free forgiveness, free eternal life, free resurrection of your flesh. All free. So, let me ask again, what are you going to do? How are you going to respond? He says, come, follow me. Don't say no. Don't be slow. Go, follow today, immediately. Leave your nets and go follow Jesus. In his name, amen. Let us rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the light of the world. Amen.